This weekend we are presented with a beautiful and somewhat puzzling gospel from St. Mark. As we read about this encounter that Jesus has in this healing of the leper. The leper, as we read in our first reading from the book of Leviticus, the leper was considered to be an outcast, someone who was publicly unclean, a nobody, as it were. The leper was obliged by the Mosaic law to cry out whenever they were approaching people, to cry out, unclean, unclean. The leper could not participate in worship, the center of the life of the Jewish people. But this leper that we hear of in the gospel today comes to Jesus to give him worship. He comes to our Lord in an act of faith and he asks the Lord to heal him. And St. Mark tells us a leper came to Jesus and kneeling down, genuflecting, he says to him, if you wish, you can make me clean. This leper knew who Jesus was because of perhaps previous encounters with him. Maybe he heard about him. Maybe he'd experienced his preaching and his miracles. But he knew who Jesus was and he worships him as God. In that act of kneeling down, of genuflecting in his presence, he worships him and he begs him to heal him. This week we begin the holy season of Lent, the time in which we more deeply and more intensely as Catholics, we reflect upon the suffering and the death of our blessed Lord, all that he endured because of our sins, out of a great love for us. In this Lenten season, we prepare to celebrate the glory of what it means to be a Christian, namely the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It seems appropriate that we do have these readings just before we begin the Lenten season because we are reminded that Christ came not merely to cure a few people, to cure a few lepers of their physical ailments, but rather more importantly and above all, to cure us, to heal us of our spiritual leprosy. He says to the leper today, I do will it, be made clean. And how much more, how much infinitely more does our Lord desire to heal our wounded leprous souls? During the COVID era that we all endured a couple of years ago, our society took so many precautionary measures to defend themselves against the spread of the virus, which is all well and good. But what measures do we take to guard against spiritual ailments, spiritual sickness, spiritual leprosy? What do we do to guard ourselves against sin, against the attacks of the devil, the demons, and to guard ourselves against those spiritual sicknesses in which we replace God with ourselves or with the pleasures of the world? This is indeed the most dangerous of all of the sicknesses that are there. And do we take those precautions against such sicknesses, against that spiritual leprosy? Sickness, in ordinary terms, is a rebellion against good health. But sin is our spiritual rebellion against goodness itself, namely God. As we begin this Lenten season this week, we are called to embrace penances and practices, acts of self-denial and self-sacrifice that are going to aid us in our spiritual health and our fight against that spiritual leprosy that can eat away at our souls. We do all of this in order to build up our spiritual lives and our relationship with Jesus Christ, so that he might become more firmly established in our souls and in our hearts. You know, we might look at our Lenten journey as that of building an interior church within our souls. In northern Missouri, as you've heard me talk about this group, there's a group of religious sisters called the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles. They're primarily known for their beautiful music that they produce, but also beautiful priestly vestments that they make. And more famously, this past year, they became more worldly known because of the discovery of the incorrupt body of their foundress, Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster. Well, a few years ago, as the sisters were outgrowing their small chapel due to the number of vocations that they were having, they had to begin building a beautiful, magnificent church in order to fit their congregation for whenever they gathered for prayer and worship. But the construction of their church was, of course, done in various phases, as with anything. First, the design of the church was decided upon. Then the materials were ordered and the work began. The footprint of the church was dug, then the foundation was laid. Then the walls were put up, followed by a roof and their bell tower. For the outer walls of the church, the sisters chose to put beautiful Kansas limestone to give the church a gorgeous and medieval look. And each of those stones had to be cut, had to be carved, and had to be perfectly placed on the exterior of the church. And finally, the day came whenever the church was completed, consecrated, and dedicated. And these sisters, this beautiful, young, vibrant, joyful community of religious sisters with their beautiful black and white habits, they filled their church with their angelic voices of praise and prayer to Almighty God as they gathered at the heart of their community in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament at the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, giving glory to God through their prayer, which defines and shapes their very lives. Well, the season of Lent can certainly be likened to the building of a church, that is, the church of our souls. First, a plan must be made. Whenever we enter into the Lenten season, we ought to have a plan for ourselves, even if we have to write something out for ourselves, and we must stick to that plan out of a love for the Lord, but also certainly it's going to help benefit us spiritually and grow in God's grace. But that plan must be made, then the foundation must be laid. We must enter into those practices with confidence and with perseverance. The walls of our prayer, of fasting and almsgiving, if you will, must go up and lead us on that glorious journey of the Lenten season up to the celebration of Easter. The roof of temperance, self-control, and gratitude must be put on in order to house those good graces that God gives to us that we receive and to be attained by our mortifications, our self-sacrifices, and our acts of self-denial. The bell tower of hope, if you will, must be installed in our souls, ready to ring aloud God's praises whenever the Easter morning doth shine upon us, rousing us from the Lenten slumber to rejoice at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there is more. The altar, the paintings, the statues and icons and ornamentation of the interior of the church, that's what gives it its grandeur and its beauty. And these might be likened to our works of charity and progression in the spiritual life during the Lenten season, as we journey with our Lord during the stations of the cross, reflecting upon his passion and offering up spiritual sacrifices to God in the forms of prayer, of fasting, and of almsgiving. And whenever the Lenten season is over, when the time for the building of our little Lenten church in the interior of our souls is completed, our hope is that it is a fortified structure, gleaming with beauty in the interior, a fitting place for the worship of the good God, a place of his very dwelling within our souls. We do not build a church in order to glorify and praise ourselves, but we build a church in order to give glory to God and to give him that worship that is due to him. So this Lenten season, we're going to have certainly plenty of opportunities to build our interior churches, or to polish them up, to fortify the walls of our spiritual life, and to build a spiritual edifice within our hearts so that God might dwell all the more fully. So I encourage all of you to embrace these Lenten practices with generosity, these practices we are called to do, including the devotions and the practices that are going to be provided here at Guardian Angel and at St. Ambrose. Allow these practices to disrupt your regular schedule of life. Allow these practices to disrupt your regular living, because they are meant to. They are meant to cause us to focus more fully and more closely on our relationship with the good God, and especially those areas in which we are distanced from him, and to look to him in confidence and hope as we enter into these practices. But we do all of this out of a love for Christ, and out of a desire to deepen our relationship with him. So I encourage you to read my bulletin article from this weekend and to look at the various encouragements and practices that are certainly going to be offered in our parishes, but also may it inspire you to maybe think up your own practices that you can engage in during this Holy Lenten season. You know, it's certainly well and good to give up chocolate or sweets or whatever during the Lenten season, but the core purpose of the Lenten season, my brothers and sisters, the core purpose, our focus, to be that of uprooting sin in our lives and growing in God's grace. If we're giving up things and without offering them up to God, without asking him to help us to uproot sin in our lives and to truly be better Catholics, be better followers of him, then we're missing the whole point. If we're going to our fish fries, but we never come to the stations of the cross during Lent, it's well and good that you're abstaining from meat and eating fish. That's wonderful. But if we're neglecting our prayer lives, then we are missing the whole point. And you may look through my bulletin article and think, man, Father is crazy. There's so many things going on. Yes, I am crazy. Okay, and I know that. All right, I know that. I am crazy. But it's because of my desire as your spiritual father
It's a part of my desire and my duty and my purpose is to help get you to heaven. And so I have to provide the avenues as your spiritual father, as the father of this house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's a part of my job to get you to heaven. And so, yes, we're going to have these many opportunities provided for us to help us grow spiritually. We must utilize them, my dear brothers and sisters. Because that is our purpose. We are in a great, grave spiritual battle right now. A grave spiritual battle, brothers and sisters. We do not know even the least bit of the extent of it. We are in a grave spiritual battle. And as we enter into this Lenten season, as we go through our prayer and our fasting and almsgiving, these are magnificent weapons for us to fortify ourselves, to fight the good fight, to fight against the forces of evil. And as long as we remain faithful to the good God, as long as we remain faithful to Our Lady, St. Joseph, and the saints, then we are going to be on the winning team. But the point is, you better be on the winning team. In the end, we have nothing to fear, brothers and sisters, in the face of the great spiritual battle that we face, unless we are not being faithful to God. If we are shirking our duties as Catholics, if we're just going through the Lent season, going through the motions, if we're shirking our duties, then yeah, we have something to worry about. So long as we remain faithful to the good God and embracing these practices that are offered to us through Holy Mother Church, we're going to experience great spiritual benefit, and we're going to fight the good fight as the Church militant. So let us go forth, brothers and sisters, into this beautiful Lenten season. Let us do so with confidence and hope. Let us do so knowing that the good God offers to us many graces and many blessings out of a great love for us and His desire for us to be saved. Let us go forth and let us be, indeed, those warriors for Christ fortified in our souls through these beautiful Lenten practices. And let us remember those marvelous words of St. Paul the Apostle as he speaks to us in his first letter to the Corinthians today. That whatever you do, do everything for the glory of Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.